Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me as always...
Hello, cunnies. It's Ben Vanell here. Yes, got the boys smiling. Joining us, rounding out the trio, it is...
Hello, cunts, which is the word that Ben was too... wasn't bold enough to say.
Sure.
What's the opposite of bold? Italics. He was too italics. He was too Italian.
I was leaning on the side too much to go there.
Like Inspector Gorin from CSI.
Yes.
Or no, Law and Order, Criminal Intent.
Criminal Intent, yeah. It was you never so heard fun. Him say cunt.
Whenever they had ads for CSI, fucking Law and Order, Criminal Intent over here, it's because Criminal Intent is CI. And so in my head, they're both
so NCIS.
Generic cop shows, yeah. But so all the ads on Channel 10 for Criminal Intent were like specifically about Vincent D'Onofrio leaning all the time. Mm. I remember every week it'd be like, Vincent D'Onofrio this week, he's got a guy who he thinks maybe did some fucking whatever crime they were looking at in Criminal Intent. And there's a knife that tells more of the story. And he's got that lean. And he did like lean over and whoever the criminal was would be like, oh no.
I have absolutely no memory of this ad campaign whatsoever.
Really? I do.
None at all.
It was always about the lean.
Okay.
I don't think it's on YouTube.
There was a period of my life that I was pretty regularly on the lean myself, but in a very different way. So maybe that's just gone from my memory.
There's an early 2000s period where I just watched so much fucking TV when I was a kid that I could I have burned in memories of. Do you remember Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That show was so fucking hyped up over here. I remember that show being like Gabbo from the sit where it was like for weeks before, for months even, before Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place showed up. They were like, we're going to get it from the US. We're going to bring it over here. And it is the biggest comedy.
Fast-tracked.
Fuck Seinfeld.
We're going to get it fast-tracked from the US.
But
it'll
that
only
was,
be 24 hours after or whatever
that was.
Was
the problem, though, is that this one wasn't fast-tracked. So they were like, it's blowing up the States. This is the biggest show we've ever put on Australian television.
Mm.
And then it came on, it was like fucking Ryan Reynolds being like, hey, whoa, get a load of this pizza place or whatever that show
very
was.
Very like by the numbers sitcom. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Also
so
one of the
boring.
Few shows to change name midway through its run because I remember they all quit their job at the pizza place. And then I think there was maybe a season where it was still called Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. And then they were like...
Right.
We gotta just cut this shit here. We gotta be honest. We gotta be honest with the viewing public and let them know what they're in for when they switch this program on. And then all of a sudden the show was just called Two Guys and a Girl, which is just like the most weak, ineffective, like vague name for a TV series.
If I was the showrunner for Two Guys, a Girl and a Pizza Place, I would have made it so that every episode the show was called something different depending on what they were doing in that episode. So if they go and like watch a hockey game, it's called Two Guys, a Girl, and a Hockey Rink.
Right.
If they go to an arcade, Two Guys, a Girl, an arcade, and a bus, if they get the bus there.
Right.
And it lists every single scene that takes place during that week's episode in the
title
of the show.
Right. So then each episode is its own self-contained season.
Yeah.
So it's like a box set is just one disc with one episode on. on it.
Exactly right. Right. Yep. Exactly right.
This is a good business model. I think if they're not even if we go by those rules, we probably should change the name of this podcast from Filthy Casuals to Two Guys and a Girl. I feel like that's surely fair. We've got to do that as well. Yeah, yeah.
That you do raise an interesting memory there, Adam. So, like back in the day when TV shows would be in Australia, they'd be on a bit of a delay from the US, mm-hmm. like several mm-hmm. months after they had aired. So if something
often,
had been on...
Often a year at least.
Yeah, a very long time. So if something had been on in the States and just bombed, then they didn't need to worry about picking it up over here. Like our local network's just like, cool, we can take a pass on this one. But then I'm sure it was very frustrating to the TV networks when we got to like kind of scheduling parity where it was like all of a sudden... With downloading, they had to be like fast tracking stuff. So they would get a new show and then it's done within 3 weeks in the States, but they've already like paid the licensing fee for it. They're like,
yeah,
fuck.
We've got to show the rest of Gary Unmarried.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
Was cool. It felt like living on different planets because when someone would come back from America with like, you know, Pokemon fucking gold, you'd be like, holy shit. But then with TV as well, like I didn't hear a Monica Lewinsky joke until the Bush administration. it was weird to live in this alternate reality down here.
Oh, yeah.
There's just something funny about the cadence of saying a president's name and then the word administration.
Yeah.
It means you don't even have to think of a joke.
Yeah.
The Bill Maher method.
In my opinion, that kind of joke hasn't been funny since the Ford administration.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
It's fun to do. It is fun to do.
You can double it up and be like, you know, one of the other classic genres of comedy is my wife won't have sex with me. So you could say, me and my wife haven't had sex since the Carter administration. And then you're like,
oh,
that's 40 fucking years. That's 50 years now. That's crazy.
That's two generations ago.
Fuck.
Wow.
Well, folks, we got a big episode for you this week. We are, as you will have all seen in the news, a fly landed on Mike Pence's head during the vice presidential debate. We are
going to
be talking
away.
About it. We are going to be chopping it up and dissecting it from every conceivable angle. But first of all, we got a few other things to dig into. Bit of news, some bits and pieces of news.
I can't wait to get to the fly though. We actually,
it's fucking funny stuff. It's really it's funny stuff, if you ask me. Yeah. There was a list of games that will not be compatible with the PlayStation 5 when it launches. Mm. So, I think we all need to pour one out for Afro Samurai 2. I believe is one of the games on the list.
I don't know if you guys follow me on Twitter, but I posted a very funny image of all of the backwards compatible games, each with a fly having landed on them.
Okay.
It was sort of pushing the two stories together in a humorous way. Yeah, it's really weird, this list. So
it's the most random list of games. It's like, it's almost like a clueless auntie's potential Christmas gift list.
Oh, yes, that's exactly what it is.
Absolutely. This is the list of games that your little cousin has.
Yeah.
And it is unclear why these are the ones. So if you didn't see it, the Sony put out every single game is backwards compatible on the PS4 except for this list of 10 games. And they've been pretty like vague with the wording of it up until now. So this is exactly what I wanted to see to know that I can... quite happily get rid of.
You were very concerned about this, or I guess you were just concerned. Like I think I kind of just assumed, you know, they said most and I was not skeptical enough to be like, what are they excluding really?
Well, it was more that like I thought they wouldn't know. I thought that them being cagey about it was them not having had time or whatever to test everything.
Right.
Or you know, to go through and guarantee full compatibility with stuff. And I have things that I've bought on sales or whatever that I haven't gotten around to that I intend to and hope to one day, but would love to be able to get rid of that whole console rather than... Because then with the VR stuff as well, it was sort of unclear how compatible that would be. But they've said about that now that you'll get... If you own a PSVR, you can send off for like a USB adapter that will make it work, the camera work with the PS5.
Oh, I didn't even hear about that. That's good. I just assumed it. You just plug it in and it's fine. But
there's not.
I mean, that's good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thing, we'll get to the teardowny thing. So the 10 games, and this is fucking weird about them, and I'll tell you why. There's something called DWVR, Afro Samurai 2,
Revenge
of
Kuma Volume 1, I would like to add to the full title.
All right, let's do them all. TT Isle of Man, Ride on the Edge 2, which I think
is that's one game.
Motorbike game.
It's crazy.
There's another game called Just Deal With It, which I saw someone say they should have put at the end of the list.
Yes.
To just be like, fuck off.
Shout out funny patrons. Hey, your joke made it onto the show.
Congratulations. I came up with it. Shadow Complex Remastered, Robinson the Journey, which is one of those ones that I bought because it was on sale and I had the VR, haven't gotten around to it. We Sing, Hitman Go Definitive Edition, Shadwen, and Joe's Diner. So I am going to play Robinson the Journey, I guess, in the next few weeks.
But yeah.
It's bizarre because half of these are just like Unreal Engine games that the fact I would love to know what it is specifically and then to not understand what it is specifically that makes these not compatible on the PS5. It's such a weird list.
What's the magic component that that means that hardware is shitting itself? I can imagine that the only ones that are a big bummer to too many people, maybe We Sing is the kind of thing, you know, like fun party game. I can see people wanting to carry across and, you know, not having got, you know, not a single player thing that you finished and you're like, well, you know, whatever. And then maybe Hitman Go, but then all the others are all things that I've never even heard of before.
Hitman Go is like also on iOS or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
That
was where it came out first. And same with the Shadow Complex Remastered is like they give that away for free all the time on the Epic Store and whatever.
Okay.
Like,
right.
So
you've got ways to play all of these. I think that Robinson game too is on PC VR stuff. So it's great to know that for sure that there's nothing that I care about and that probably the majority of people care about that's going to be trapped on the PS4 there.
Mm. Yeah, it's the way they were being a bit cagey about it. It seemed like it was going to be a list that was like, you know, potentially had like God of War or Uncharted 2 or, you know, something that, you know.
Like The Last Guardian, like some weird game that people did actually still want to play. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of just thought that we wouldn't get just like a list of here's the one that won't, here's the ones that won't play.
Here's 10. And so these are the only ones, right, in the entire PS4 library. And even 4, when they 000, said some, I thought it'd be, I thought it'd be 50 or 100 maybe of games equally as obscure as these ones potentially. But, yeah.
They do say this list is subject to change and excludes demos, media, and non-game applications. And I believe that there's something somewhere in this article that's like some online stuff might fuck up too.
Okay.
So although many PS4 games are playable on PS5 consoles, some functionalities that were available on the PS4 console may not be available on PS5 consoles. In addition, some PS4 games may exhibit errors or unexpected behavior when played on PS5 consoles. So like it's still not everything will definitely be perfect forever.
Yeah.
But it seems...
But no one can promise that. In this life.
Well, she did. And then it turned out she lied. But anyway, we don't need to...
The other good thing about this announcement, I think it was wrapped up in the same sort of media release, was that the way that you can get these games if you already own them, especially if you own them digitally. Like I assume if you have a disc, you just pop it in, there's a bit of a patch and then bang, away you go.
Yeah.
But digitally, I was not sure. Because I had a PS3 and a PS4 and... I don't think it was that simple. I don't think you just went into the games library and clicked download.
The PS4 wasn't backwards compatible at all.
Right.
With anything. And so,
there was just a bunch of games that you had to rebuy as a PSN game or not have. But this is, you go into your library, it has a little subtitle that says PS4 and you just hit download and bang, it's you download it to your PS5. Which
that's awesome.
Is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same as the Xbox is.
Right.
Like the benefit of the Series X is that it also is doing 360 and original Xbox games and they're going to add to that library as well. But in terms of the most recent two generations' compatibilities with each other, the two consoles are pretty much at parity with each other with that thing in mind. So Yeah, it's cool to know. And they also did put out a video of someone from Sony, someone high up, I don't remember who, taking
apart. Crash Bandicoot?
I think it was Crash Bandicoot took apart a PS5.
Oh, sure, yes, the teardown. Yes, yes, yes.
That was really cool to see. He span really fast and it blew apart. And then he went through pointing out each of the components of the PS5.
Yeah. But it was hard to tell. That dynamite that was right next to it.
Yeah. It was hard to tell which bit was which, too, because he just kept pointing, going, whoa! And that was all you really got out of him. But fuck, that was a bad impression. But it was cool to watch this because, like, so those big white sides are just detachable really easily, leading to speculation that they will do a bunch of limited edition, like the 360 faceplates, if you remember that. You could snap them off and put, like, here's my fucking Halo one now. I'd kind of think that would be cool. They're so big that if you could get ones that you thought looked good, that'd be nice.
I mean, even just black ones, right? Like, I like the white design, but for something that is so huge and sort of resembles like a subwoofer or something, if I can just like pop it on the thing next to the TV and not have it be so, you know, intrusive, that'd be sick. I don't know.
Mirrors.
Oh, yes.
What about that? Huh? Really piss off a cat.
Or extra LED screens.
Ooh.
Right?
My PS5 is two TVs and a console. We can both play.
Yes. Everyone jumped straight to the customizing the faceplates thing, which was not the most interesting thing about it. Like, I thought just generally it was really impressive how it was made, how it was so easy to clean and to change the position and shit. Like, and I was just kind of fascinated by being able to look at the hardware itself. I haven't like taken apart a piece of, you know, a computer or a console for years at this point. But it's like, you know, it's like an iPhone or something. It's just like, it's very simple. There's like two things in it and this is how you clean it. You vacuum out the fucking holes. I thought it was cool.
Really, really well engineered. And there is a satisfaction in like taking apart a piece of electronics, taking apart a computer and rubbing a magnet along the hard drives before the police have time to burst through the door. There's something satisfying about that feeling. Yeah. But like the little sinks for dust that they put in there is like directly responding to shit that went wrong with the PS3. The size of the fan and the heat sink that's in it and all of the air intakes that it's having from both sides is a direct response to how loud the PS4 was.
Yep.
And presumably this will be a lot quieter because it's got a fuckload of cooling stuff in there.
The reason that a PS4 is loud is not the fact that the fan is like, it is going fast. It's the fact that the fan is like a little clogged with dust, right? Like, if you clean a PS4 and you play Death Stranding or something, it's not going to be super, super loud. So I think the fact that they're like, well, there is coolant to keep the thing cool, and this is exactly how you just get the dust out so it doesn't clog up and start sounding like a plane taking off is good. If they want to sort of, have that at the start of the generation to remind people, like, this is how to not make it sound like that.
Totally. And the little board itself is so small. The actual PS5 is a tiny little thing, relatively, which is also cool to see.
It's wild. It's like, the, you know, there's trillions of circuits or whatever. It's like, it's insane that this exists now.
How you get all them pictures inside that one small little box? That's what I said. that was cool to see. Little bits and pieces of news about, like, how the Series X and the PS5, the specific minute details of how they work with backwards compatibility and all that stuff. It's exciting because, like, it's small, kind of boring news, and it's very, tiny, incremental, small things that don't really matter. But it's exciting to me to be like, fuck, there's like less than a month left.
Yes.
Yeah, less than a
month.
These
things are real.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't say it's been at the forefront of my mind at all. It keeps creeping up in this strange year. Like, oh yeah, there's a whole new console generation coming out within a week of each other in a month's time. Yeah,
dude, there's a month and a half until every newspaper is full of pictures of Santa Claus wearing a mask, going down a chimney.
Exciting. Yeah. Exciting.
Being like, I can't give you your presents because blah, blah. And like Rudolph and shit are all on a big sleigh because they're all social distancing. Oh. Santa's got a fly on his head.
Well, before that, we get the joy of Halloween. Now, I
know, I was going to say.
Planning is going as the fly wearing a mask.
It would be kind of funny if you wanted to go as just Mike Pence for Halloween and then a fly landed on you and you were like, no! It was a second accident. I hate it when people make fun. Whatever, there's video game stuff to talk about. But when people like go like, this is the funniest thing to ever happen and this politician looks ludicrous with stuff like that, where it's like, you've never had a fucking fly on your face before, dumbass. Fuck you. Shut up.
Yeah,
there's worse
shit
than
that. I don't
know.
Yeah, joking about it on all the fucking hand-wringing over making jokes about it on Twitter kind of, it had real vibes of Jimmy Fallon ruffling Trump's hair like 5 years ago, whenever that was. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, this guy's a cunt. Like, it's not like, yeah, fly exactly, landed on his head. Like, yeah, get him. Yeah. Like, who gives a fucking rat's ass? Like, he doesn't look stupid. He looks like a man with a fly on his head. Like, who cares?
Yeah, let's talk about how he wants to ban abortion. Like, that's the fucking crazy thing about him.
It's not a deep own to comment on the fact that a fucking bug was on him.
Mm. Anyway, whatever. Sorry for being a woke podcast.
Yeah, no reviews, please. Hey, DM me. DM me for an argument about this. Don't leave a fucking iTunes review.
Hey, I guess I'm wrong. Oh, that's pretty embarrassing. I guess I've got fly on my face.
just imagining the right wing fan of Two Guys, a Girl and a Pizza Place, Criminal Intent, who's also a real tech head, who's just been in absolute heaven so far this last 20 minutes of the app. Like, oh, they're talking about the face plates and the fan, and then this last bit comes up. He's like, yeah, he's firing off a one-star review as we talk.
God, imagine if Deadpool had a fly on his head. What would he say? What would Deadpool say about that?
Fuck. Anyway.
What were we talking about?
I can't remember. PS5 and shit. They're
console launches in about a month.
I saw an unboxing video of the Xbox Series X. That was the other thing that I wanted to sort of make note of is I was glad to see that teardown video because I was glad to see the actual fucking console, like seeing a human being touching one. Mm. They've just been Photoshopped images in videos so far. And yeah, like you guys said, it's so soon. They're coming out so soon. And I feel like in years gone by, we would have seen like hands-on previews and like Polygon and Kotaku and stuff would have done these in-depth reviews of these consoles. But I guess because of the situation, they don't physically.
There were a bunch of Japanese YouTubers and stuff who got to go look at them. So a bunch of photos that came out from that, but that was also quite recent.
I would imagine
that in any other year at this point, like, maybe some form of public event or press event. Mm. Like, you know, we got invited by Microsoft to go and have a hands-on with Gears 5 at the start of this year, very beginning of this year, whenever that was.
Last year. Well, it was more than a year ago, dumbass.
Okay. Sorry, sir.
God, you fucking dumbass.
I don't know if you're looking at yourself on Zoom, Tommy, but a fly just landed on your head as well. You fucking idiot.
But yeah, I mean, it feels like, in any other year, that's the sort of thing that, you know, potentially we would be getting it. You know, maybe, I mean, we got, you know, Microsoft invited us to something before, so we probably would be gearing up to go and have a hands-on thing sometime.
There was,
pretty soon, you know.
I don't know how much, but like, I think at this point of the year, we would normally, because there was a thing earlier in the year where it was like we were going to do that around now. But then stuff changed around the release date of a certain game.
Yes. Good point. Yeah.
So, I'm excited to get that thing in the mail 2 weeks after it's out.
I know. That's the other thing, isn't it? Like, mine's coming through Amazon, which... I hate to say it, but hopefully at the very least, that's one of the few places that you can...
We'll see. No one's fault.
We'll see.
Is that all for news or should we chat what we've been playing?
I think that's all for news.
Yeah. There was some other back compatibility stuff with people doing tests and things on the Series X, but it's all pretty... detailed, and if you're into that stuff, go have a look at Digital Foundry and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been playing a game. Well, first of all, I finished Crash Bandicoot 4. Loved it. Only got better and better as it went along. Some absolutely brutal shit in the final world there. But, yeah, really fun. Mm. Once again, really recommend that if you enjoy a good 3D platformer. One of my favorite things I've played this year. Really good. So, yeah, had a great time with that. And also nice to play it. Having cleared it, the percentage that I've done is like 35%. So there is a ton of shit in there for you to go back and find, but it's not an overly long campaign, which I didn't mind too much. Nice to have something that was, you know, pretty easy to just kind of knock off in a week in a few sittings. Mm. I also started playing this week a game that is on Steam and the Switch called I Am Dead, which is a... developed by a group called Hollow Pond and also a guy called Richard Hogg. Fantastic name.
Dick Hogg.
Hell yes.
Oh, Dick Hogg.
My name is Penis Meat. Not to make fun of him. Yes. I think that's actually a cool name.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Unfortunately for him, I Googled him to find out what other things he'd done, and he shares his name with a Melbourne accountant who went to court for ripping off a whole bunch of people. So Richard Hogg is the first guy that comes up when you search for the name Richard Hogg. But this game is a basically a puzzle game where you play a ghost who lives on this island, and you are trying to find a fellow ghost who wants to become the custodian of the island. And the way that you do that is by going to these environments and summoning the ghost by finding mementos of theirs that they left behind. So each of the five levels is basically a very colourful, vibrant diorama. Of the first one's a lighthouse. The second one is like an outdoor sculpture park. And you kind of move around. You find people who have these memories about the person when they were alive that tells you what the memento is. And you then have to go through the environments and try and find the memento by... You can pick up little sections of the level and sort of rotate it, and then using the triggers you can kind of slice through and sort of do like a cross-section kind of look at what's in there. So, so for example, one of them, the clue in the memory is something like this person broke off the nose on this stone statue and they threw it away, and that happened ages ago. So it's like, okay, well, it's just been lying there on the ground, and then there's this huge overgrown bush. And if you cut through layer and layer layer of that bush,
I love chucking my nose into an overgrown bush.
The 70s are back, baby.
All right, 8 out of 10. The review's not getting any better than that. That's all I need to say. But yeah, so, you know, you kind of follow sort of like bits of logic like that through the, you know, through the little hints that you get and through the little memories that you find of people. It's sort of almost more of, it's got a very vibrant, colourful style to it. It's almost like an illustrated kind of kids book. It's more like a nice artwork that you're interacting with more than it is a game, but it's got very charming dialogue, very charming music, and just a cool little exploration, kind of digging through this environment and getting things and rotating them, and often surprising yourself by, oh, I can pick that up and I can slice through it, and oh, there's this boot hidden in here. Oh, now I can slice through that, and in a lot of cases you end up sort of six levels deep of all these little kind of babushka dolly kind of things that are hidden one within the other to find this little memento. And then there's, I think, five of them hidden in each level. And then once you found all of them, you summon the ghost and then you're on to the next location. And so, yeah, it's cool moving on to the next place and seeing, you know, what it's going to be and what the theme is and what the ghost is and what their job was and all that sort of stuff. It's very relaxing. It's very chill. It's very meditative. I'd recommend it, but have a look at the trailer. If the art style isn't for you, then I don't think you're going to enjoy it. But, if you're charmed by what it looks like, I think you'll have a good time with it because you basically just are interacting with this nice artwork for, you know, however long it takes you to finish it. It's cool. Yeah, it's a cool game. It's a unique little puzzly kind of game.
Should we talk about a game we've both played, Nox?
Yeah. Hold on. Can I guess which game it is?
Okay.
I'll give you an audio clue. Talking about Asthma Simulator.
Yeah, Asthma Simulator. Well, we both have hay fever. We're hay fever boys.
Yeah.
And it's hey, guys, it's hay fever season, you know, like instead of this, Virgo season. Bitch, this, it's hay fever season.
Yeah. Pollen is in my ass, and so I'm shitting weird. Imagine if you only got hay fever in your butt. But the hay fever's been fine this year because I haven't been going outside. Mm. Being inside, I've had time to play some more VR stuff, mm-hmm. which normally I'm too fucking lazy to move my house around in the way that I need to create enough space.
Mm.
And we've both played Vader Immortal Episode 1, just the first of a three,
yes.
The three small VR story first-person experiences.
Yeah. They definitely, I think they labeled themselves as a VR experience rather than a game.
Which is smart to do.
I think so, yeah. That my expectations were justifiably lowered. I will say, though, that... Oh, and I played this on a Quest 2. We got an Oculus Quest 2 delivered last night. Not much to say about that except that it's the best VR thing that I've used so far. It's pretty much a crystal clear screen. The controllers are really, really good and intuitive, and everything's where it makes sense to be. A lot more precise as well. I played some Beat Saber on it, and I had to adjust to it being almost like actually one-to-one, whereas the PlayStation ones are a bit more like loose, you know, they're a bit mm-hmm. more corrective almost.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's
not
awesome.
Surprising, right? Because those Move controllers are like 10-year-old technology now.
Yes.
They would have compete with
and
the
they're
Kinect.
Using the... They're using the camera, aren't they? Or maybe these ones are doing the same thing, but yeah.
I think the way the Quest does it is it has cameras in the headset, and it also has like all sorts of fucking gyroscopes or whatever the fuck Da Vinci used to draw. So like it's crazy technology is I believe the term.
Yeah, and kind of like not crazy expensive. It was like $400 and something for like day one launch edition. Like I pre-ordered it and got it delivered like on the day or the second day of its release.
So I'm interested to hear with the Quest before we talk about Vader, I guess. Like it is a completely standalone unit that has is it heavy? Is it light? How does it feel to wear?
You don't notice that you're wearing it.
That's crazy.
I read a bunch of reviews of it before I pre-ordered it, and there was some really there was like one super negative one. It was that Ars Technica site, which I don't know if they're a little harsher on tech stuff or whatever, but they were particularly negative about the fact that it's made by Facebook.
Yeah.
I think they were really directly comparing it to the previous model and saying like, well, it's a cheaper one, and because of that, there are some, you know, downgrades in like the head strap and shit. But like for me, who has had the original PlayStation VR unit up until this, it's like the first time you buy an iPhone. Like it's very like simply packaged, beautiful, simple setup. You just bloody hit power on the side, and it's like taking you through this really intuitive and simple setup. But yeah, like the controllers are super, super light. I've definitely used the little strappy things. They're a little less, because the PlayStation ones, you know, they're like, I don't know, they make more sense to hold on to. They're a bit bigger, I guess.
They are
heftier.
A lot, yeah.
But the Quest ones, you sort of have to actually strap on. You don't want to like fling them off. But then yeah, the fucking headset, it's just like wearing a baseball cap. Like it's, and then the visuals are... Yeah, like pristine. For a VR thing, I'm so impressed by how clear they are. But you have do you have an Oculus, Nox?
I've got a Rift S, which I believe is pretty much the same sort of specs as this, but it requires a PC and it's a bit older. I think the screen, I'm going to look this up so that I'm not fucking spouting a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
A quest is a long journey or mission that... is embarked upon by heroes of traditionally a fictional story. I hope that clears everything up.
Yep. End 8 of out review. Of 10. Yep.
But yeah, the PSVR is especially, I mean, it's running on a PS4, so like it is a very, as VR goes, low resolution thing because frame rate is the more important thing to maintain in VR.
Yes.
I believe that these have 1440p screens. That's right. The thing I'm looking for. But yes, the Rift S is fucking cool. And like playing Half-Life Alyx on it initially and everything since is just like, it is a bizarre futuristic feeling that doesn't really wear off that much as time goes on. Mm. It remains cool to be looking at VR shit. Other than the fact that a bunch of VR games are kind of fucking boring. And so what did you think of Vader Immortal?
I liked it a lot. For what it was, I enjoyed it. It's only like an hour, right? Like I played it before I started work this morning from start to finish. So it can't be that long, but it's done well. Like I guess it is my first experience. I actually played Robinson the Journey, which I did not enjoy, I have to say. But it's probably my first VR game experience. Yeah.
It won't ever darken your door again.
Afro Samurai 2 review coming next week.
I was going to say maybe we should review all those games for like a dumb
we
bonus
should.
Ep.
Yeah. Bandcamp on the PS4 backwards compatibility graveyard.
Sure. Yeah. You'd never have to play them because we've reviewed them for you. That's actually not
Patreon.com /filthy casuals pod. And we will use that money to buy TT Manx Superbike, whatever the fuck it was called.
Genuinely, let's do it. It's like a time capsule for in 4 years' time. If you're sitting around and you're like, God, I really need something to scratch that Hitman Go itch, but I sold my PS4 and I can't get it. You can just chuck on that app and be like, ah, yep, I remember now.
Yeah. This is an annoying thing to have committed to tape.
But it's sure, a funny idea.
Yeah, it is funny.
What, you mean the show as a whole?
But so, yeah, Vader, which will continue to be compatible with a bunch of shit, is very... The Star Wars-y aspects of it are well done, for sure.
Yes. And as someone who really got Star Wars fatigue, they were done well enough to bring me in. Like you have a little robot sidekick and she's actually well written, like surprisingly not annoying, which has been an issue with their recent movies and even some of the series. Like it's a little cliched and hacky, and it's like, oh, this one's good. Great voice acting, I thought, for that character as well.
I agree, because she is kind of just still the quippy droid type thing, but it works.
Yeah, and then for me it was like the first game that I enjoyed with sort of like that sort of teleporting movement, picking like having the controllers for, you know, like you can do grip and point and different, you know, there's joysticks and stuff. So
you're climbing ladders and you're pulling levers and then you're holding a lightsaber at some point.
And all of that stuff is done super, super well. But again, this is the first game where I've wanted to play a game like this, and it's actually been included at all. So it's like it's my first experience with like those controls, but it's cool. It adds to the immersion. I have a big enough space in my room to just sort of like, I was standing on the spot, just walking around, turning around, you know, like, and that's super seamless. That adds to the immersion as well. All of that stuff, all of that VR stuff was done very well in this game, which makes sense because it's a more recent, you know, iteration of it. That all was cool. The music's cool. The voice acting was sweet. I guess having just played Beat Saber, it made the lightsaber stuff a little shitter in comparison because that game is just lightsabers.
That's the thing. It's more like a 3D Star Wars comic book type of thing where if you're interested in like Darth Vader standing in front of you and being fucking huge is like cool.
Yes.
But if you don't give a huge shit about Darth Vader, there's a few seconds of like, oh yeah, cool, this is like a big guy in a suit. Then you're like, well, everything I'm doing is boring. It is a decent sort of VR graphic novel thing, an experience thing, like they say. But I don't think I have enough attachment to Star Wars for that to drive me through when like the bits where you are moving around and climbing and doing the lightsaber stuff are more annoying than anything. I almost wish it was just like a hour-long movie that you were floating through.
Like picking things up and having dialogue said about them that was interesting and well written, because all of that stuff,
especially when it is just real staple VR stuff. And if you'd have come to this after something like Half-Life, which is the way around I did it, I'd think that the the effect of it, how much it carries on being a VR thing wears off with that specific example quite quickly. So I did just say before that VR never stops being cool, but I guess it does. I guess I'm wrong. I guess I go back on that immediately.
It's not as cool as the most recent VR thing, then it's less cool.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, as things progress, it's the same as, you know, 3D graphics and shit like that. When someone figures out like, oh, that's how you move and that's how you pick something up.
Right.
Then it's tough to go back to those older things, purely in terms of the gameplay. But the visuals and all of that stuff with Vader, if you like Star Wars, it's exactly what you would expect it to be.
Totally. I think I saw a huge sort of possibility for VR in it as well, because like I noticed myself when I was like standing in a room with essentially a cutscene unfolding around me, I was like reacting to it. Like like leaning back, or I was like, like you have to like do a couple of things. They have to like pick this thing
looking
up
away, and like ignoring people.
But you're like
pulling out your phone.
One of the first things that happens is like Vader makes you like open this thing up. It's like a little artifact, and it only works for a certain person. And so you do it, and it works, and you like give it back to him, and like, you know, I like shrugged at him or something, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, he walks away and you like roll your eyes at your companion. Like, it's weird, but that is like, it feels like you're in a movie.
It feels like one of those dumb like at theme parks they used to have that thing where like it's like Thank God You're Here or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Where you're like sort of being a bit disruptive and you're like, I remember flipping off Vader and shit.
Yes.
Because you can squeeze all the things to make your fingers do different stuff. That was
pretty fun. Yeah.
I mean, this would be like a cool way of like bringing more licensed stuff into video games. And, you know, because a lot of the struggle of VR really taking off has been that, you know, actual gameplay wise, that, you know, there's been a bit of, you know, how do we really get this to work? Like, you know, Astrobot is such a great example of it, but there's been a lot of misfires where it feels a bit awkward being in it. And similarly, you know, often with a lot of licensed stuff, you know, it doesn't maybe perhaps lend itself to an actual game where you have gameplay. Then that seems like kind of such a great way to merge those two ideas. If they got more and more into just like, you know, like how Telltale at a certain point just had so many licensed things that they were churning out. If there was a company that was good at making VR experiences that could get, you know, TV shows and movies and get the talent on board to like write these little experiences where you're in the midst of it and they're not having to worry about gameplay, and in both a VR sense and a licensed game sense, I mean, that'd be fucking great. I'd love to see more pop culture things that I'm personally interested in show up as these little, there haven't been any that have appealed to me personally, but like, that'd be great. It'd be great to see more proliferation of that.
I want to see Two Guys, a Girl in a VR place. That's what I would want to play. I want to be the Reynolds.
It's like I can really reach out and touch that contract for a third season that never got signed by the head of the problem I have with that is that this is the conversation that people have been having about VR for 3 years or whatever it's been. Like, it conceptually is cool, but then you actually see the Star Wars thing. It's like, yeah, okay, that's kind of cool. And it's like a little pricey for how long it is the other thing.
Yeah,
they're like an hour long each and they're each kind of $15 or $20 or something, which, I mean, it's not absurd if you're talking about renting a movie, but it just is just tipping the point of where you're like, oof, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because I haven't played anything more advanced than it, I was really impressed by it.
Sure.
I was also impressed by the tutorial for Quest 2, so my, you know, bar is low. But I did enjoy it. And I should say, like, the sort of interface and the setup and the, like, yeah, you have to, like, sign in with Facebook, but I didn't even notice. Like, this was the bulk of a review I read, was the issues with Facebook being the owner and the account authentication. But it's like, you have set to up do it when you play Facebook. Bejeweled.
Yeah, you can set up a fake Facebook account really easily.
Yes, you can.
Like, it's agree that it's fucking dumb, but, you know, it's your problem is with the world at large rather than Oculus.
This one product,
Yeah. But yeah, I thought, like, the store, the app store, like, once you've set all that shit up, it was like, you know, it was like having an iPhone and like just deciding to download a game and give it a shot. It was really simple.
Physically dragging your menus around and like having this little house that you live in there where you can shoot little ping pong balls and whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then it cleverly sets up Because with the PSVR, you're pretty much sitting in the one spot the whole time. There's very little actual movement with that. But this gets you to like draw an outline of the movable space that you've got, and it'll show up this kind of grid as your hand begins to move towards it, so you don't punch through any windows. Yep. It's all very thought out. You can turn on cameras that are on the outside of the thing to view like a black and white version of what you're actually looking at.
Your actual surroundings, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I always get scared I'm going to see a big monster.
Hey, Adam, you just reminded me, speaking of PSVR and licensed experiences, about something. I can't remember if this was on... I can't remember if we actually recorded this, but I remember when we came around to your house to record one of our YouTube Let's Play series, you were quite dismayed that we busted you with the Rick and Morty VR experience on your, home screen of your PS4.
This is yet another one of the backwards compatibility games that I was hanging out to know that I could still play in the future.
Did you ever play it? Because I do like that show, and I'd be I've got to be honest, I've contemplated going in.
How about you fucking grow up, coward? I bought it and I haven't played it, but one day I will.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no amount of Patreon donations that can get me to play it. I'm sorry. This is not something that we're all going in on.
That connects it to the computer and makes it into a PC VR headset, and play Half-Life Alyx that when the Game of the Year stuff at the end of this year comes around, we can have a conversation about that game.
Okay.
It might be too scary for you.
I'll give it a go. I'll give it a shot.
I tell you what, that is a thing. Horror games in VR are fucked up.
Yeah, it's God. Awesome. I don't know if I could... Like Resident Evil 7 is something that I could not probably handle, but I might try it. Like, I am enjoying it. But I will say, if you came from PSVR or have never ever, like maybe Google Cardboard or something, but if you're a newbie, this is pretty affordable. It doesn't need a computer attached to it. It's basically like buying a new phone, and a cheap one at that. The interface is great. Buying games is really simple. Like, it downloaded incredibly fast. I guess these must not be huge, you know, file sizes.
I don't think the Vader ones are.
Yeah, but even Beat Saber, like, I bought immediately, and it's like 400 megabytes.
Hang on. Can we just go back? I got to admit, I don't know much about this product beyond what you've already said. It doesn't need a computer?
Yeah, it's freestand. It's just a headset, two controllers. It plugs with a USB cord. You plug into the wall.
Oh, my God.
That's it.
I had no fucking idea.
It looks incredibly, incredible quality, like PC screen quality stuff. It is a mobile wireless standalone VR system that plays, approaching sort of PC/console quality games. If you're someone who likes Star Wars, then Vader Immortal is a no-brainer. Like, it is a fun experience. It's very seamlessly done, very well made. The gameplay is not, incredible, but it's more like a Telltale game, like you guys referenced. You know, it's something like that in VR. Let's dive pricey for how short it is, though.
Yeah. Let's dive back into some more VR stuff over the next few weeks. Fun.
Yeah. 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 Shit,
I don't know if I ever mentioned it on the show, but I've been playing a bit of Beat Saber after you recommended it, and fuck, it's so good. My girlfriend loves it. Now, the only two games my girlfriend has ever played and loves both of are Animal Crossing and Beat Saber. I'm having a couple of issues with the, like we mentioned before, the camera just in my living room, getting the angle of that right to then register the move controllers and not have them frequently be like slightly slipping out of the frame, because then if you're holding them and you're trying to slice and all of a sudden if you go out of that range, you know what I mean, you would have had this happen, maybe they just start sliding off this, and it's so jarring. Like, it's such an awful feeling mentally, just like this thing that is one for one for your hand just kind of sliding out of screen.
That is worth maybe mentioning in anything of like recommending a VR product too. Some people just will never be able to use it due to motion sickness and stuff like that.
Right.
Yes. True.
Like, I never feel motion sick and I move fast. And I will, like, if I play certain games or am in it for too long, will start to get like clammy and like sweaty and feel weird.
Right. I guess, I'm not someone who has any issues with it. Like, I will play Beat Saber for half an hour at a time, maybe even longer. And I get a little sweaty but because I'm moving around. But
you're standing that's with still the PS. In that one, at least.
Yeah, that, true.
The ones where you're doing the room scale stuff,
like the
Oculus things do, it can be really disorienting at times, especially when something fucks up and you end up dropping a weird amount or like through a wall or like... It will sometimes trigger something in your brain where your brain is like, we're about to die. And then that is hard to adjust to sometimes. But yes.
I guess I'll have to see how I go with a more expansive experience. I do remember going to that art exhibition at Heidi in Melbourne and feeling like genuine vertigo, but you're supposed to. Right. You're like on a rising
I think that was the point of the piece that she had made.
Yeah.
She wanted to really make you feel pretty fucked up and uncomfortable while you were in there.
Yeah. If you're someone like Tommy who can probably potentially afford to go in on something like this, this is the one to go in on, I think. Don't bother about the PC stuff. You don't have to overhaul your home setup. It's like I said, buying an affordable phone.
Mm.
Or like a console, basically.
Yeah.
Basically a console.
It's a VR console.
I'm tempted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something else that I've been playing during the week is it's a game from a little while ago. It is a adaptation of the Netflix series The Witcher. Now, this...
Fucking hell. Oh.
You like that?
I could hear you loading those fucking shells into that barrel. Nah,
thought of it in the shower the other day and thought, yeah, that'll be a good one. That'll be good.
Yeah, that'll be a good
way
good
of getting into this. Not too bad at all. Not too bad.
Send in a message or a comment on the Facebook page or hell, mail in to my PO box. What did you think of the joke? Did you like the joke?
Yeah, let us know. Let's start a thread. Yeah. Someone start a thread, start a poll, and let's get the definitive account of what the fans thought. The fans thought of that little intro. Because me personally, and look, I'll put my cards on the table. Mm. I'm a very biased party to the point where I almost should be excluded from commenting on it. That being said, I thought it was fucking masterful.
Yeah. See, I knew you'd played The Witcher 3, and you still pretty much caught
That's
me off guard.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
Adam's shut down.
No.
He cannot fathom it.
You're bloody playing The Witcher 3 wild cunt, I reckon, mate, because that's what you are.
Woo!
I'm really upset now. Genuinely, my mood dropped. If there had been electrodes attached to my brain, an alarm would have gone off somewhere. Yep. Like, quick, get a nurse in.
You can tap out if you want. We're near the end of the episode.
What episode are you up to, you fuckhead?
The dead fetus thing. Is that in the show?
Oh, the bloody Baron.
I don't think that's
in the show, that's like...
I'm a bit further than that. But family.
Are you going pretty straight through the main story there?
I've done two pretty big sets. So I've probably played... I'm probably around five, six hours... At this point,
okay.
I did two. Yeah, we're recording this on Wednesday, and I did two big sessions on Monday and Tuesday night. And what else can you say about it? It looks better than I was expecting. It's way more colourful and vibrant than I thought. Because in my head, I tend to associate medieval fantasy kind of stuff with just like drab grey kind of tones. But the lighting effects and the sun, like bright yellow sun coming through these like dark grey clouds, and then the way it bounces off the light bouncing off of like wet ground, and that like harsh, like
the
really
very light
blinding
swaying of the trees as
Yeah.
That was the thing that always got me in the sounds. Do you know, I'm like a friend of mine hates video games and like
why are you friends with them? Cut them out of your life.
They are toxic. But was saying that, like, not hates, funny hates video games. Like, doesn't.
Sure.
Right.
But specifically said, but the grass in Witcher 3 is great.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Even for people who hate video games, The Witcher 3 is one of the greatest games of all time.
It's yeah, there's perhaps like a little bit too much going on in terms of like the interfaces and the, you know, the sheer amount of like button mapping and laying out the consumables and all that kind of stuff. And also the menus that you go into look a bit, I don't know, everything else looks so good, and then you go into these very kind of dull menus. I mean, that's such a small complaint, but yeah, the acting, the writing, I would love to just kind of get this. I'm trying to just kind of power through. I just would kind of like to see all this, which I know is not the ideal way to play it, but I'm trying to do it in a very just like get through from A to B. Otherwise, I'm never going to end up finishing it.
But it doesn't matter if you finish the main story. The main story is the weaker part of it.
Yeah, okay. Go off to
the
sides.
And also, the main story is fucking long as anyway. Yeah. Like, it's probably going to be too long to finish before another big game comes along.
Totally. Well, the experience is in taking your time with each little part of the country and, like, just soak it in. Don't feel forced to do it because it will probably, you'll keep coming back to it over time as well. And in between, you'll forget what the fuck Yarrow is and all that shit.
But I kind of end up doing that with every open world game anyway. Like the first maybe 5-6 hours that I play, I'm pretty like just going straight through, just like barreling through the story. Right. And then it sort of takes a mainline quest coming up that doesn't really interest me all that much, or I'm a bit sick of going from A to B, and so it's usually around the 7-8 hour mark where I start going like, you know what, I'm going to take a breather and start fucking around a little bit more. So, I mean, maybe that's coming pretty soon. I will say that as much as I'm enjoying it, you know, it is a pretty interesting thing that the one thing I've been thinking about a bit of, like, I don't know, is the magic of the open world game, it is very much just go here, get this. Now this person's telling you to go. You know, that thing that we talked about with Ghost of Tsushima, you're following markers around a map. And is the magic of that kind of gone in the open? I mean, you know what I mean? Could an open world game come out that truly like reinvigorates that idea for you? I don't know.
I think if you sink into it a little harder, that aspect of this disappears a bit more when you're not going from A to B through the main story. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
This is one of the great examples. And like, it's something that, like, the issue that you raised, Tommy, is an issue that you've had with a lot of these games, Nox. But The Witcher 3 has always been one of the three or four exceptions because it is such a rich world that you can just walk in a direction and a bunch of stuff will happen to you and you'll stop worrying about the quest markers.
And you start to develop a trust of the quality of the content that's in there.
That's the thing
that this does better than a lot of open world games is like, yes, even if you're going to, you know, someone will give you a quest and you get it from a notice board and blah, 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 blah. And you are going through the thing of like, find a person, go to the thing they want you to see, da, da, da.
Yeah.
Everything is so well written in this game, especially outside of the main story. The side stuff is often the best stuff. And it all looks so good and it's all so imaginative and fits into this tone and place so well that's where this excels over in Assassin's Creed, where, yes, there's 20 different markers in both that you're going to by following north on the map, but when you get to the ones in Assassin's Creed, it's like, oh, there's a dumb sack and I'll hold X and now I've got some gold or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the main...
It's about the journey is what I'm saying. Let yourself be taken off the beaten path. Stop and smell the elder whatever flowers they're
whatever called. Whatever they're called. Yeah. The main reason I wanted to play it, first of all, it's on Game Pass, so it's good to get some usage out of that. And also, yeah, I kind of wanted to spend some time with it before Cyberpunk coming out because I'm... you know, excited about that game because it looks cool, but I don't have the same or didn't have the same kind of, you know, hype for it that some others do because I hadn't played one of the studio's other games before. And it definitely has achieved that goal of, really making me more excited for, these guys know how to put a world together. They know how to write interesting side shit and even just technically and mechanically, this is, almost two generations previous at this point, even though it's PS3, but you know, end of lifespan almost. I don't know.
It's like 2015, but five years is a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that'll just about do us for this week, unless you guys have anything, any other things to add.
That's about it from me.
Oh, I started playing Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. I really like the Need for Speed games, despite like a lot of them being poorly received, if not just bad games. There's something about that gameplay loop of driving around and smashing cops off the road, and fucking nitro boosting out of there that is always going to be fun to me. And that, like, they're polished games, like they're professionally made high budget games, and there's something about that which, yeah, and it's, you know, it's free on PS Plus, so I've been enjoying that. Great. I started Spiritfarer. A lot of people have been recommending it to me. Specifically, I got to a point where you had to hug a sexy reindeer and I quit the game. I don't know necessarily if the aesthetic is for me, but the mechanics of it sound very much for me. So maybe I'll persevere with it. I don't know.
I like to fuck, but just not an animal. The mechanics of the fucking sound good, but the aesthetics,
if that's
of
a crime, lock me up.
I thought it was like, I like to fuck an animal, but not specifically a reindeer. That's not the one I
hate Christmas.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's me for this week, I think.
Well,
I haven't really played anything because my brain hasn't been working properly. But I watched that PS5 teardown.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's wrap it up for another week. Thanks very much for joining us. filthycasuals.com.au for the links to the social medias and all that sort of stuff that we have. The Patreon, where you can get a bonus episode every week. The premium episodes that are on the Bandcamp. The Let's Plays that we have on YouTube, as well as our sketches and all that kind of stuff. Check all of that out. We will see you next week. Thank you very much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Actually, Toby, I did play a game. I played the adaptation of the movie Super Mario Brothers. It's called Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, yep. Boy. Yep. Yeah. Mail it on that one, too. Oh.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.